Hello and welcome to Send Parenting Balance podcast. My name is Katie Walker and I talk all things parenting children with autism, ADHD and or PDA. Today's topic is understanding SPD, sensory processing disorder, and how it can affect our child's day from moment to moment. So, first of all, we're going to talk about the eight different senses. Number one, sight. 19% people that are on the autistic spectrum experience some form of sensory difference with sight. In some cases, this can even cause discomfort or pain. They can have a lower sensitivity and may rely on others or other senses to help them through their day. Or some people could have higher sensitivity and be really good at seeing tiny differences, tiny details. The higher sensitivity may seem like a good thing to have, but it can cause sensory overload, and it means that they can be very sensitive to bright lights. Number two, smell. It can create a hypersensitive sense of smell, making everyday smells smell strong and intense. This may be, of course, overwhelming and can create eating difficulties or difficulties going to different places. You can sometimes quite often hear that children with autism may smell different foods, different toys, or even different people. Number three, hearing. People may be unable to filter out irrelevant noises, which can be really distracting and/or uncomfortable. You may find that a child or an adult with autism will use headphones to try and block out any noises that they are hypersensitive to. Interoception. Now, this is where it helps to understand what's going on in your body. For example, what goes on the inside? Hungry, thirsty, needing the toilet, tired. It's interesting because my children with autism mix excitement with feeling sick or feeling anxious, and this can affect all things exciting. Number five, touch. Their sense of touch sends stronger messages to the brain and can make them feel physically uncomfortable. They might not like places, busy places where there's people close together. In case there's any risk of someone brushing past and slightly touching them, causing discomfort. Showers can be an issue. The water pitter-pattering on the skin can actually feel like it's hurting the skin. Hair brushing can be difficult. And labels and seams in clothing. I once heard that the little seam by the toes on the inside of a sock was so uncomfortable for a child that it felt like they had a pebble in their shoe all day long. Number six, vestibular, which is balance. It allows you to detect the positioning and movements of your head. So the vestibular system is located in the inner ear. And if not working properly, it can impede a child in understanding what is happening to them and, of course, the world around them. So they may be oversensitive to motion, or it could be under-responsive, where this is where the child may seek body movement, appearing to be hyperactive. For example, the desire to spin, jump, swing, helping them to, in fact, stimulate themselves. Number seven, taste. Taste and flavours can be too strong, and in those cases, the diet may be limited. The level of sensitivity can change according to how stressed, relaxed, or tired somebody is feeling. Those with lower taste sensitivity can seek out really strong flavours and enjoy very strong flavoured food, such as fizzy drinks and spicy foods. These people tend to have a more varied diet. They may indeed separate the food to enjoy each flavour separately in order to not have a sensory overload. Higher taste sensitivities, are often known to people as, this is when you may hear people say that they're fussy eaters, but it's so much more than that. They may stick to plain foods, often beige foods like bread, pasta, chicken nuggets. It's not just foods that taste affects, though. Think about medicines, drinks, toothpastes. Finally, number eight, proprioception. It's allowing your body to understand its movement and location in relation to other objects in open spaces and how our muscles work with force. So, for example, the ability to crack an egg open without crushing it completely. Autistic children may appear clumsy, knocking over things, misjudging personal space. They may not be able to regulate the pressure, so they may break items, or they may write too hard because they are pushing down too hard with the pen or the pencil on the page. Examples of sensory difficulties. Let's have a look. So perhaps irritation from clothing tags, itchy from certain types of fabric, heightened sensitivity to bright lights, bothered by flashing lights, heightened sensitivity to loud noises, overwhelmed by strong smells, increased stress in crowded areas, difficulty focusing in busy places, elevated levels of stress with lack of routine, fidgeting, rigid behaviour, and perhaps wanting things to stay the same. Sensory seeking and sensory avoiding depends on anxiety levels, stress levels, and exhaustion levels, meaning that sometimes certain sensory aspects will cause distress, and other times the child may be seeking sensory things. So, for example, there's some contradictions in here as well. So you may find that a child needs to touch certain soft fabrics, but often doesn't like other fabrics. They can be sensitive to some other fabrics. They may enjoy being really loud or having the TV up loud, but be highly sensitive to noise. They can often chew on clothes, fingers, pencils, but then perhaps not like food. Perhaps they like to be upside down, spinning and climbing. Yet they can become incredibly anxious or irritated if their own personal space is invaded. These things will all be dependent on their own anxiety levels, stress levels, and exhaustion levels at the time. So, how can we help? Well, here's a few things we could put into place. Of course, every child is different. You could use a visual schedule, you could give warning transitions. So, as you're going to transition into the next thing, we give plenty of warning. Offering sensory breaks throughout the day, push and pull activities are particularly good. Use a trigger log to identify triggers. A bit like a diary, however, you are literally writing down each of the triggers for the day. You could teach calming techniques, use noise cancelling headphones, have a quiet space. You could use meditative sounds and lights. Spending time in nature outdoors is so much less cluttered and it's not overwhelming. A forest walk or an open space, an open field, making sure people are getting adequate sleep. Dimming lights or using sunglasses, weighted blankets, playing gentle melodies. Hard candy and sweets are also very good for those that are sensory seeking. Calming videos such as waterfalls, rain, deep breathing exercises, or stretching. Some of the symptoms of a child that has sensory processing disorder may look like this. Perhaps they love jumping up and down on the furniture and they don't seem to stop moving. Perhaps they may seem a little hyperactive. Perhaps they don't notice sounds unless they're really loud. Perhaps they don't realise their own strength and they tend to hit or push. Perhaps they seek feelings of deep pressure, for example, a compression vest or tight hugs. Perhaps they crave fast and intense movements like spinning or swinging. Perhaps they have trouble staying still, sitting still. Perhaps they have a hard time understanding personal space. Perhaps they cover their ears or scream when their Hoover or the hairdryer or something noisy is on. Perhaps they want to smell everything, food, people, objects. Perhaps they show a dislike to hairbrushing and self-care, for example, showers. Perhaps they exhibit excessive risk-taking behaviour, for example, frequently crashing into things. Perhaps they dislike being touched, or perhaps they seek an increased amount of touch. Perhaps they have issues with food textures. Perhaps they gag when they're trying new foods. When it comes to sensory processing disorder and learning and development at school, it can massively affect children and how they're able to process information and engage in learning. Imagine if you were in a small room with 32 other children with unpredictable noise and smells. If the strip lights were bright and you could hear another teacher shouting down the corridor, and your uniform felt a little tight and itchy, could you really focus and sit still for a long period of time? I just don't think I could. Having sensory processing disorder can therefore influence attention span, participation in classroom activities, anxiety, and burnout. It can also contribute to meltdowns. This is just one area of autism that children can have difficulties with. If you couple this with social interaction difficulties and reduced understanding of social cues, children may have difficulties in reading body language, tone of voice, sarcasm, joking, facial expressions, and non-verbal communication, all of which can contribute to high anxiety and further meltdowns. Children can be hyper or hyposensitive to social cues. My daughter is hypersensitive and can read energy an over a top amount, which causes huge distress for her. Senses can be very easily overloaded because of an unusually delicate sensory system within people that have autism. Sensory processing disorder can be really difficult for the person experiencing it. And as their parent or carer, we can't fix it, but we can soothe it. I hope that managed to shed some light on sensory processing disorder and what it may feel like and what it may display like within children. I do hope you're kind to yourself today. Have an amazing day ahead of you. As always, you can find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com. See you soon.